Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Can we be quiet, everybody? Finish all your talking. Amen. I want to ask you a question. Why did you come here today? Did you come here because somebody told you to come? Am I hearing your answer? How many of you came here today to get some rice? Oh, then it won't matter if we don't give you rice tomorrow. So if you only came for rice, you could leave now. But why did you come? One day, Jesus asked the people, He said, "What did you go out in the wilderness to see?" What did you go out to hear? Did you go out to see a reed that was shaken by the wind? And what message did you come to hear? Let me read from the 24th chapter of Matthew. How many Bibles are here? Hold your Bibles. How many have Bibles? Amen. So, those of you with Bibles, you came to hear the Word of God, didn't you? And as Brother Bert said this morning, if you don't have a Bible, get one. Jesus one time said to his disciples, We're going to have warfare. If you don't have a sword, get one. Amen. But he didn't give them a sword, did he? And then they said, "Well, we have one." He said, "That's enough." Amen. All right. So Matthew 24. Let me read a few verses here. I believe I'll start in verse 5 and we'll just read a few verses here. He said, "And many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." What does that mean, that many will come in the name of Christ and say, "I am Christ," and deceive many? Now, he didn't say that many will come and say, "I am Jesus Christ." So, to say Jesus Christ means Jesus the Anointed One.
Umiuntag si Hesus Kristo, baga na siya usa kagitawag, siya usa kagilihugan.
So there will be many come in some kind of anointing and say, I am the Anointed One, I am the Great Prophet. I am the Great Apostle. I am the Vicar of Christ. Now, the city of Manila in the Philippines had a visitor a few weeks ago. Yes, even we in America saw that on television. And he claims that he is the Great One appointed of God. And many, many, many people followed. Did you hear the number? How many million were there that were out? Did you hear the number, Edmar?
16 million.
How many?
16 million, I think.
16. 16 million people were lining the road looking for just a glimpse of a man who is a Christ. He has some kind of anointing, he has some kind of charisma. But it is a charisma of deception. So Jesus is telling us, in this day and hour in which we are living now, we need to be careful that we be not deceived. So let me ask you another question. Can you be deceived? If I told you some lies and said that God said this and God said that, would you know if I was lying? Would you know? I hope you're saying yes, I would know. But then I'll ask you, how would you know? You would know by the Spirit and by the Word. So you would say, Brother Mark, you are not reading the Word of God right. That is not what the Word says. Now that's one reason I wanted you to have the best Bible. The one that is most true to the Word of God. You see, if I change one word that makes a different meaning, how did Satan change the Word of God? How did he change the Word of God with Eve? With Eve. He said, yea, hath God said? And Eve said, well, we will surely die. In fact, Eve kind of changed the word of God a little bit too, didn't she? God said, you shall not eat of that tree. Eve said, well, we can't touch it. Now, I suspect that God might have given those instructions to Adam. And when Eve came along, Adam said, Eve, darling, let us not go near that tree. Let us not come close. Let us not touch it. God said, we can't eat it. And if we do, we will die. Well, now, I'm not sure that she knew what die meant. It wasn't a very good idea, but I'm not sure what it means. And so Satan said, God didn't really mean that. We need to have a new definition of the word die. So basically, the only word that they had was not a written word, but it was a spoken word of God. And Satan was basically saying, let's write a new version. This will be called the New Eden version. The New King God version. Die doesn't really, it isn't that bad. And you'll get very wise. So, Jesus is saying, now I'm taking you in the context of what Jesus is saying here. Okay? He's saying that you're going to live in a time of great deception. So I ask you, can you be deceived? And you hope not. But let me ask you the next question. Have you ever been deceived? Many times. And when you were being deceived, did you know that you were being deceived? No. You thought you were right. And the minute you knew that you were deceived, you were no longer deceived. So, God is asking you to examine your heart on the basis of what you're hearing today. Am I living with a deception? One of the things that Brother Bert was asking you this morning is, have you given place to the spirit of sectarianism?
Ang
Sectarianism says we're right and you're wrong. And we have our little piece of pie, and that's our kingdom. But do you know that in the kingdom of heaven there are not going to be such divisions? How many of you were here 8 years ago when we came? How many were here the first time we came?
The first time.
You were? Brother Raymer?
Amen.
Brother Lito? Yes, I see a few hands. Are we telling you anything different now than we told you 8 years ago? Did we not tell you 8 years ago we did not come to start a new church? We came to preach to you the kingdom of God. Now, let me go back to Matthew, because this is what Jesus is talking about here. And he said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but the end is not now. Wars and rumors of wars. A good brother found me a book. The book is about this thick. It's called the History of the World or something like that. Annals of the World. Now, it's not a book that you sit down and read through in a few hours' time. But we had some very, very cold weather. And I got the book out again, and I said, I'm going to go a little further in this book. I think the book goes way back to the beginning of the world. And as I was reading through, I was so taken by, there have been wars, 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 wars. Every page of this book is about this kingdom going against that kingdom. The Medes, the Persians, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans. And here we are, still having wars and rumors of wars. But he said, that's not the end. Let's go on. And nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. You know, brethren, we have other kingdoms besides nations. How many of you believe we have religious kingdoms? Let's take, you know something about the kingdom of Roman Catholicism. Do they have a king? Oh, yes. They have a king. Papa. Do they have princes? Oh, yes. Archbishops. Bishops. Now, remember, as we read the Word of God, we come to another place in Matthew where his disciples wanted to have that kind of kingdom for his kingdom. The two disciples, one of them wanted to be first vicar and second vicar. Or whatever. And Jesus said, no. This is the way the world does it. You know, when he said this is the way the Gentiles, that means this is the way the people of the world do it. How many of you believe that this message of the kingdom is for Gentiles? How many of you believe that everything that God said in His Word applies to us who were Gentiles? But now God doesn't call us Gentiles anymore. He now calls us seed of Abraham. Because Jesus Christ is the seed of Abraham. So we don't have to go and join a Jewish synagogue to be saved. Amen. You don't have to go join a synagogue to celebrate Passover. We celebrate all these things by the Spirit. Okay, let's go back. And it says there will be famines and pestilence, earthquakes. Pestilence. Pestilence. What have you been hearing about pestilence in the news? By the way, do you believe that measles is a pestilence? Did you know that there were some missionaries from America that came over here to the Philippines and they got the measles and they took the measles back to America? Well, would you rather have measles or Ebola? Have you thanked God that you don't have Ebola? You know, some of the brethren that we have ministered to in Sierra Leone and Liberia, they've had Ebola. Rita was asking one of the sisters from Sierra Leone, has the Ebola come to the people that we know and have ministered to? And she said, no, but it came to the house next door. Ebola came to America. And I believe I heard Brother Bert say this morning that it is the hand of God that is holding these things back. When you understand in this chapter what Jesus is talking about, he is talking about the coming of a tribulation that is so bad that the world has never seen anything like it before. Now, things are pretty bad in West Africa. How many have died now of Ebola, Rita? The last figure you saw. More than 7,000. 9,000. 9,000. The number keeps going up. If you lived in the city of Monrovia, people on the streets dying of Ebola. If you lived in Nigeria, in the north eastern corner of Nigeria, Three hundred schoolgirls taken captive by Boko Haram. Christian people from Egypt looking for work went over to Libya. And the terrorists caught them, beheaded them. Now, I think that's tribulation, don't you? But Jesus said it's coming to all the world. That means there is no place to hide in the Philippines. Of course, it means in America, there's no place to hide. I found out what it was like for the doctors to think that you have Ebola. When I came home from Nigeria, I was sick when I came home. I had a fever. I went to the hospital. I said, I need help. I'm sick. I said, I've just come back from Nigeria. I just got off the airplane an hour ago. It set off bells and whistles and sirens. They put me in isolation. I said, I don't have Ebola. They said, we don't know that. I said to the doctor, when can I go home? He said, you're not going anywhere until the state says you can go. So I'm a prisoner in the hospital. I got well. I didn't have Ebola. Amen. That's all right, brother. I don't have it.
Hallelujah.
You know, in these countries, people will not shake hands. Because they're afraid they'll pass. I'm telling you, brethren, pestilence is coming and God is the only one that is holding it back. You need to know that you can be under the shadow of the Almighty. If you choose that you just want to live in this church system, you do not want the kingdom message that we are bringing to you. You're just going to be an okay Christian, sin once in a while. I'm going to tell you, you will not be under the shadow of the Almighty where these plagues can come nigh to your dwelling. We preach this same message in Sierra Leone. And we read the same word in Psalm 91. And I can't wait to go back and ask these people, when the Ebola came to the house next to your house, did you believe that you had the blood over your house? You see, you don't really have to walk in very much faith today. You can still live a careless life. Do you want the kingdom of God? Do you want the word of God? Do you want the message that Jesus is bringing you for this hour? Do you want it more than you want rice? Okay, let's go back and hear more of what he had to say. He said, these are the beginning of sorrows. Now that means that there are more sorrows coming. How many of you enjoy sorrow? How many of you enjoy sorrow? How many of you enjoy tribulation? How many of you enjoy trouble? But what do you do when it comes? Pray. How many of you thank God for your troubles? Praising God. Did he not say, in everything give thanks?
Yes.
When I see trouble, when I'm in the midst of trouble, I am learning to say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And the other day I was outdoors.
Kunyang ikan tahu antusias luas.
It was 20 below zero. The wind was blowing, which means it felt like 50 below zero. And I spoke to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know, I would really rather we didn't have to have this. But I believe that you have decided that we need some judgment. I live in a wicked and perverse generation. Are you living in a wicked, perverse generation? I believe you are. Let's go back. And he said, and they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. The world is going to hate you. They're going to turn you into the hate police. Have they made those kind of laws here? Hate laws? Hate speech? It's coming. They have these laws, I believe, already in America, but they're not enforcing them like they are in Canada, our neighbor. In these hate speech laws, if I do what I'm doing today, and if I say, God hates the sin of sodomy, the sodomy people will go to the government and say, he is speaking hate speech, have him arrested. So that means if I read certain parts of the Bible, the Bible that says this is sin, then they will try to arrest me. Do you know that most preachers in the big churches in America, the ones that have the big television programs, you know they don't speak against sin? A reporter went to one of these big preachers . He has a church of something like 20,000 people. He writes books. They sell them in the bookstores. And the reporter asked him, so how do you deal with this thing of sex sin, man and man? You know what his answer was? We don't go there. And so these churches now are making their pastors men and women who live in this unrighteous life openly. Some of the famous Christian artists, singers, musicians, maybe you listen to some of their albums. They came out and announced that they are now living unrighteous life. Do you know what happened to their popularity? Not a thing. Didn't bother the people, the Christians that were buying this music, didn't bother them at all to know that they were wicked, unrighteous lifestyle. So, I'm talking about a Christian church that says, I am Christian, but they are not living Christian. I'm talking about people who will follow when a man says, I'm Christ. And they do not want to hear the truth. And they will deliver you up to be afflicted and will kill you. Now, I don't know what kind of Christians, whether they're good Christians, bad Christians, the ones that the ISIS is killing. But I know that if they capture you and you say, I am a Christian, they will probably kill you. So I don't know these Coptic people. I don't know whether they are real believers in Jesus Christ. I don't know what their belief is, but I know this. They must have told their captors, I will not renounce my faith. So let us let Jesus be the judge. If they would not renounce their faith in Jesus, I would like to believe that they are martyrs for Jesus. Okay, let's go on. And many shall be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. Now he's talking about Christians. Well,
okay.
You're a Pentecostal and I'm a Baptist, so I'm going to turn you in, and I'm going to let them arrest you, and they can do whatever they want, because... And even if you're my brother, I'll turn you in, because I want to do the right thing, you know? This is what people are doing. And they're going to do it more and more. You say, Brother Mark, how long do we have until all this happens? Oh, we're not going to put a date. All I'm going to say is the time is very close. The hand of God is the only thing holding this back. Can you see the hand of God is holding all the governments of this world, all the economic banking system, the system of the religions of this world? Only the hand of God. And he said, suddenly, like a snare, it comes upon all the world. Now let me go a little further. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. First he said false Christs, and then he said false prophets. What is a prophet? Who can tell me what a prophet is? Who's going to tell me what a prophet is? What's a prophet, Rudy?
A prophet is the one who say the Lord told me.
Oh, he's okay. A prophet is the one that says, "Thus saith the Lord." So if there are false prophets, that means there are people who are saying, "The Lord told me," and the Lord didn't told me. How about a prophet that gets up on television with a big crowd of 1,000 people? And he says, "The Lord told me that everybody that gives me $666 today is really going to be blessed." And you're going to get healed of everything you want to be healed of. Would you say, "Oh, people wouldn't believe that"? But you know what they do? People do believe that. Oh, there are many things to prophesy about, aren't there? And he said, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Iniquity. What is iniquity? What is your word for iniquity?
Iniquity is kasaypanan. Kasaypanan.
Okay. Translate that to English.
That is iniquity.
Iniquity. Okay. That's
because
very good.
Kasaypanan. It's a good translation. Iniquity.
Iniquity is rebellion.
Violation of rules.
Violation of love?
Rules. Law. Violation of law. They violate the law. Please.
Oh, violation of the law. Breaking the law.
Yeah.
Okay. Iniquity.
That's a part of iniquity.
Okay, so it's rebellion.
Rebellion.
It's disobedience. It's wickedness. So, what about people that say, "Well, let's change the law, and then we won't be having iniquity"? Do you know that there used to be laws on the books in America that if a man commits adultery or a woman, that they can be arrested.
Ano na ba laot sa Amerika? Na kung ano ba yung mga makapagilaw sa paglalaki o paglalaki o paglalaki sa pagkahibo sa kagutiyo, siya paglalako.
What do you think would happen if they enforce these laws?
Ay, paano ba mag-usin ng tabo kung kaya siya niyagin sa?
I think about half the people would be put in jail. So when the wicked people don't like the laws, they say, well, we're going to change those laws. Now we're not wicked anymore. But they are wicked. Because God says it's iniquity, it doesn't matter what man's law has said. How many of you believe we're talking about our generation? We're talking about our generation. I don't care how old you are, we're talking about our generation. Our world, our country, wherever we are. But he, oh, the love of many shall wax cold. Whatever happened to love? You know, they've changed that too, haven't they? Love used to mean what the Bible says love is. The kind of love that Jesus gave his life. I was quite surprised when I was a young man to find out how people had changed in their mind the laws of God. Now, I was brought up to believe that fornication was sin. That means a boy, a girl, man and woman, before they're married, getting together the way a man and woman, the husband and wife get together. And I was quite naive when I went out into the world and began to talk to people in the world. And people began to tell me what they were doing. And they were people that went to church. And I said, well, isn't that wrong? And I remember some of the girls saying to me, oh, but we love one another. So I said, okay, so if you say you love one another, then it's not a sin anymore? Oh, no, it's okay if we love one another. And I'm thinking, well, then why do people ever have to get married? And apparently that's what most of the world is thinking today. But you see, the genuine love of Christ is getting dim. People don't care about one another anymore. All right, we're getting to the bottom line here. He says, but he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved.
Apan siya nga muna hunday, nagpusa katapusan, maura din mga
Now, what does it mean to endure to the end? What end? The end of my endurance? Well, I've had all I can take. I'm at the end. So I endured to my end. No, it has to be taken in context of everything that Jesus said. So, if he's talking about great tribulation, if he's talking about pestilence and famine, if he's talking about people hating you, if he's talking about the police arresting you for hate speech, because you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that means you have to endure to the end of the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, what have the churches done with that message? What are they saying? Are you going to have to go through great tribulation? Rapture? Oh, we get out easy. We don't have to overcome quite to the end. So if we write a new version of the Bible, then we need to add a little something here. But he that endures almost to the end and can find himself worthy of being raptured, will be saved. Do you see how just adding another word or two here and there? By the way, I have been doing a lot of studying about what has happened to the Bible from the time that the apostles first wrote. You know, they had the Old Testament, the apostles wrote the New Testament. And you understand that the Catholic version of Mary, I'll just give you an example, that Mary is the Virgin Mary. How many of you believe she was the Virgin Mary? Yeah, I believe she was a virgin when Jesus was born, right? But this is not what they mean. They mean that she was forever a virgin. So in the King James Bible, it talks of Mary and it says that she brought forth her firstborn son. And Joseph, her husband, knew her not until after the birth of Jesus. Now here's what one of these new Bible versions says. You see, they want to make these Bibles so that all religions can accept this Bible. So the Catholics will accept that Bible too. It is not offensive. So the new version says, And she brought forth her son. Well, that's true. But the King James Bible says, firstborn son. Because later in the Bible, it says that she had at least four other sons and daughters as well. So they're going to leave that word out. And then they're going to say, where it says that Joseph knew her not till after, they just say, and Joseph knew her not. Leave out those nasty words about after. Until after. No, you don't have an NIV, so you're not going to find it in there. Will you? Is it in there?
Yeah.
What are you looking at? The King James?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you'll find it right in the King James. I tell you, that's why I was so delighted to find these Bibles. That they're Bible Baptists. Okay, they don't believe some of the things that would, but I tell you what, they love that Bible, and they're not going to change one word, even if the word. All right, so now we're coming to the verse that I wanted from the very beginning. Oh my goodness, I'm over an hour. Okay, from the very beginning, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. This gospel of the kingdom. This gospel of the kingdom. Now, let's look at the words here again. First of all, let's look at the word this gospel. Now, does that mean that there might be another gospel? Not a true other gospel, but there are other gospels, aren't there? In other words, you make your sect, you make your religion, and you want to take just this verse. This is the verse we're going to build our house on. And so we're going to ignore all the other things that Jesus said. Let me draw a little picture that you've seen many times. Okay, here's the tabernacle again. That's supposed to be square. Okay, and in the outer court, you have a brazen altar. You have a brazen laver. In the holy place, you have a lampstand. And by the way, in your King James Bible, most of the time, this is called a candlestick. It's a lampstand. It has oil in it. It cannot be a candle if it has oil and a wick. Okay. By the way, there is one word in the King James Bible you can change. Okay, it has a table of showbread. And it has a golden altar. Now, I'm talking about the difference, different gospels of what? How about the gospel of salvation? By the way, I like the word gospel. You know, some of these new Bibles, they change that word and call it good news. Well, you know, a newspaper might be writing good news. I've seen your Philippine newspapers. There isn't much good news on the front page. I don't know who all these politicians are, but it looks like they're all corrupt. So I like the word gospel. You know, gospel is not the word you're going to find in the newspaper. Gospel speaks of the things of God. Amen. Gospel doesn't just imply something that's good. Gospel comes with the preaching. Preaching of the gospel. See, I'm not just here telling you good news. I'm here today, Brother Bert was here this morning. We're telling you this is what God is saying. But you can take only part of what God is saying and say, that's my gospel. So, in John 3:16, Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, what? You must be born again. Is that true? Is that true? Yes, of course it's true. Okay, so when we come into the door, we first come to the brazen altar, and the sacrifice of blood is made at the brazen altar. And the first thing of salvation is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to become a great evangelist. And I'm going to build a great something big. And maybe I can be Billy Graham. And I will get many, many people saved. Now, I've heard Billy Graham. In fact, I've actually seen him twice. And he preached a good message about getting saved. And when he gave the invitation to be saved, I saw hundreds, thousands of people coming up the aisle. By the way, I sang in his choir. I'm going to have to admit something to you. I went into his choir. I said, I'm a Christian. They said, okay, get over here and we're going to sing these songs. It was in New York City. So I got over there and George Beverly Shea was up there leading the choir. You know something? It was the worst year of my life as far as my rebellion against God. Yes, I was walking in sin. Oh yes, I used to be a sinner. It's not a good life. I spent a little time there. And you know, they didn't bother to ask you any questions. They didn't say, are you living a pure life? Are you being obedient to the Lord? No, they didn't ask anything like that. Can you sing? All right, get over in that choir. All right, so this is the gospel of salvation. All right, you can get saved. And if you die tomorrow, you go to heaven. Right? You die tomorrow, you go to heaven? Sure, you do. You know what? Right there is where the thief on the cross was. He looked over. He saw the blood. He knew he was a sinner. He knew he was going to go to hell in a few minutes. He recognized that Jesus was God. He recognized that Jesus had a kingdom. And he said, Lord. He called him Lord. Master, Lord, God. Will you remember me? I'd like to be in your kingdom. Now, he didn't sign the card. No, he didn't sign any confession. Jesus looked over at that filthy man and he saw his heart. Dying Jesus, suffering, dying from great pain. He saw that man's heart. He didn't tell the Lord how many sins he'd committed. He didn't make a list. But to make a statement like that to Jesus on the cross, he had to believe he was a filthy, dirty sinner on his way to hell. And he had to have a vision of the kingdom of God. But he didn't get beyond that place right there. We could read about John the Baptist. He preached about repentance. By the way, you know what repentance is. Have they changed the meaning of repentance? Well, what does repentance mean? Hello, what do the preachers tell you that repentance means? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay. Are we all good now?
Yeah.
Tell me something. When the Pope acknowledged that they had done some bad things back in the time of the Inquisition, did you hear what he said? Yeah, we made some mistakes, you know. They were just heretics anyway that we killed, you know. But we were probably being a little rough. It was only a few people. Oh, come on. It was thousands, millions perhaps. The things that that church did to the true believers, some of the most horrible suffering that those poor saints went through. You know why they suffered? Because they had the Word of God. And they would not give it up. And the harlot hated it. They not only wanted to kill and burn the people, but they wanted to burn their Bibles. Oh, they had a Bible, all right. The Catholic Church had a Bible. But these saints had the true Word of God. And they hated it. You know what? That was not repentance. Repentance means that you make a complete change. Okay, we're going to go only a minute, and I just want to take you one more step. This is a laver, a brazen laver. Laver means it's full of water. The laver was for the priests. After the blood, they would come and they would wash. So after you have received the blood of Jesus Christ, you need to be washed. You need to be baptized. You say, well, my parents took me to the priest and I was baptized when I was born. So I'm okay, Brother Mark, right? Okay, I don't need to be baptized again? So, when you were a week old, did you repent? How many of you were baptized when you were babies? No Roman Catholics here? Anybody? Nobody here grew up in a Catholic church? Oh, Sister Rita, what? How many?
Most of them.
You just don't want to put your hand up. I won't hurt you, buddy. I'm just going to tell you that's not baptism. You just had a little bath, that's all. Why was it not baptism? Because you didn't repent when you were a little baby. There is. Where's a little baby? Here. There's a little baby right there. This little baby. Just stand up, sister. Can that little baby repent? He doesn't even know he's a sinner. That baby cannot repent. And what does he have to repent of? He probably hasn't done anything bad yet. Thank you, dear. No. But you see, I can make another church. I can make another gospel. The gospel of salvation. The gospel of Baptist. Oh, I'm sorry, baptism. And that's my gospel. Or I could take the other verse in John 3, except the man is born of the water and the Spirit. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, now I've got another gospel. The gospel of born of the Spirit. What would we call that gospel? We have to have a name for it, don't we? Let's see. It's got to be a good name for it. Pentecostal. So now I have another gospel. How many of you know the gospel of the kingdom is more than that? So that's probably a good place to stop today. Now, if you want to find out more about this gospel of the kingdom, this is the gospel. By the way, if you want to find out more, come back tomorrow. And Jesus said, now I started by asking you a question. I ask you, why are you here today? Now you should turn and ask me, Brother Mark, why are you here today? Are you going to ask me? Yes. This verse. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. Oh, it must be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. For a witness in all nations. How many of you believe that all nations include the Philippines? Here's a little sister that, how many years ago? 12, 10, I don't know. She heard this gospel of the kingdom. And she got a word of the Lord that you're going to bring this message to the people of your home. Amen. And she was faithful to that word. So that's why I'm here. I believe the brethren that came with me, I believe that's why they're here. How many years ago was it, Brother Martin? This gospel was also brought to the Czech Republic. 25 years ago. We could ask Brother Bert, when did they take that message into Nigeria? I went with you in 1989. But you see what's happening? the Czech Republic is sending men out to other nations. Brother Martin, Brother Tomas, Brother Roman, do you know what? Africa is sending men out to more nations faster than we can possibly keep up with them. Nigeria. You met Brother Chijoki here a year ago. He stirred things up good, didn't he? Yeah. He's from Nigeria. He was one of the men that heard that message 1989 when we went with Brother Seth. But you know what's going to happen here? If I live long enough, oh, it shouldn't take too long. We've got good young men here in the Bible school. They're going to be preaching this message. You people, you're going to be scattered in other nations, and you're going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Are you going to be part of that?
Amen.
Are you going to be part of that? The kingdom of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's not a sect. It's not a denomination. It's the power of the Word of God through Jesus Christ. It's not a system organized under bishops. It's not a system ruled by pastors, but there are mature men, there are elders that are overseeing. Watching over the younger ones, giving them counsel, giving them wisdom, doing what Paul said to Timothy, find faithful men. Give them the word that I gave you. And they will find faithful men. Faithful men with faithful wives. Working together, laboring, two by two. Amen. God bless you.